You're listening to SBS News.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has announced a partial mobilization in Russia as the military operation in Ukraine reaches nearly 7 months.
To protect our motherland, its sovereignty and territorial integrity, to ensure the security of our nation and people at the liberated territories, I consider it necessary to support the Defense Ministry's and General Staff's proposals to hold partial mobilization in Russia.
Mr. Putin's address to the nation comes a day after Russian-controlled regions in eastern and southern Ukraine announced plans to hold votes on becoming integral parts of Russia. Mr. Putin says he has signed a decree on the partial mobilization, which is said to have started on Wednesday.
I reiterate, we are talking about partial mobilization. That is, only citizens who are currently in the reserve will be subject to conscription. And above all, those who served in the armed forces have a certain military speciality and relevant experience. Conscripts will obligatorily go through additional military training based on the experience of the special military operation before departing to the units.
The referendums, which have been expected to take place since the first months of the operation, will start on Friday, September the 23rd, in the Luhansk, Kherson, and partly Russian-controlled Zaporizhia and Donetsk regions. Mr. Putin says the decision to partially mobilize was fully appropriate to the threats Russia faces. Russia's parliament backed the mobilization. He claims that NATO plans on using nuclear weapons against Russia.
Even nuclear blackmail has come into play. We are talking not only about the shelling of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant encouraged by the West, which threatens to unleash a nuclear catastrophe, but also about statements by some high-ranking representatives of leading NATO countries on the possibility and admissibility of using weapons of mass destruction against Russia, nuclear weapons.
Mr. Putin says he will not hesitate to use nuclear weapons to protect Russia's border, a signal he will stop at nothing to halt the Ukrainian counteroffensive.
I want to remind those who allow themselves such statements about Russia that our country also has a variety of weapons of destruction, and in some areas even more modern than those in NATO countries. And if the territorial integrity of our country is threatened, we will, without question, use all the means at our disposal to protect Russia and our people. This is not a bluff.
Addressing the UN General Assembly on Wednesday, President Joe Biden rebuked Russia for its escalating nuclear threats and warned a nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought.
President Putin has made overt nuclear threats against Europe and a reckless disregard for the responsibilities of the non-proliferation regime. Now, Russia's calling up more soldiers to join the fight, and the Kremlin is organizing a sham referendum to try to annex parts of Ukraine, an extremely significant violation of the UN Charter. This world should see these outrageous acts for what they are. Putin claims he had to act because Russia was threatened. But no one threatened Russia, and no one other than Russia sought conflict. A nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought.
Mr. Biden also pledged another $2.9 billion in aid for Ukraine.
Today I'm announcing another $2.9 billion in U.S. support for life-saving humanitarian and food security assistance for this year alone. Russia, in the meantime, is pumping out lies, trying to pin the blame for the crisis, the food crisis, on the sanctions imposed by many in the world for the aggression against Ukraine. So let me be perfectly clear about something. Our sanctions explicitly allow Russia the ability to export food and fertilizer. No limitation.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says the nuclear threat, though reckless and dangerous, is nothing new.
This is dangerous and reckless nuclear rhetoric. It's not new, as he has done it many times before. He knows very well that a nuclear war should never be fought and cannot be won, and it will have unprecedented consequences for Russia. And therefore, NATO has also increased its military presence, especially in the eastern part of the alliance, to remove any room for miscalculation or misunderstanding in Moscow.
He adds that Russia will not win in a nuclear war.
We will make sure that there is no misunderstanding in Moscow about the seriousness of using nuclear weapons. Exactly how we will react, of course, depends on what kind of situation and what kind of weapons they may use. The most important thing is to prevent that from happening. And that's the reason why we have been so clear in our communications with Russia about the unprecedented consequences, about the fact that a nuclear war cannot be won by Russia.
Senior consulting fellow at Chatham House's Russia and Eurasia program, Kerr Giles, says Mr. Putin's nuclear threat is a sign of desperation.
Certainly, President Putin would like us to think that the nuclear threat has increased, but in fact, it hasn't. Those words of President Putin rounding off his nuclear threat, this is not a bluff, that too was a sign of desperation, because Putin must realize that all of his previous intimidation using vague hints at nuclear threats have actually failed because they've been seen through. And all of Russia's successive so-called red lines, where it was warning the West of consequences if it continued to defend Ukraine, have been shown to evaporate, and all of these threats have been hollow.
European Union foreign policy chief Josep Borrell says the Russian president is getting desperate.
What President Putin announced today constitutes another major escalation on the unprovoked war that he has launched against Ukraine. It looked like he's speaking of a measure of panic and desperation. By the threat of using nuclear weapons, he's trying to intimidate Ukraine and all countries that support Ukraine. But he will fail. He has failed, and he will fail again.
Regarding the annexation referenda, Mr. Borrell says it's a sham.
The intention to annex territories occupied by force since February 2022 and to hold a sham referenda will not change their legal status. They are and they will remain internationally recognized as an integral part of Ukraine. And this is not going to change by holding a sham referendum.
This comes as Russia released 10 foreign prisoners captured in Ukraine following mediation by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The freed prisoners were American, British, Croatian, Moroccan, and Swedish nationals who have already landed in the kingdom. British Prime Minister Liz Truss hailed the release of the British nationals on Twitter as hugely welcome news after months of uncertainty and suffering for them and their families. British politician Robert Jenrick says Aydin Aslan was among those released. He was captured earlier this year, then sentenced to death by a court in the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic, one of Russia's proxies in eastern Ukraine. Russia also released U.S. citizens Alexander Dreki, 39, and Andy Nguyen, 27. When they'll be able to leave Saudi Arabia is not yet known. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.